Gary Gruno has been part of downtown Milwaukee decisions and economic development for decades. Mr. Gruno, thanks for having us into your office to talk a little bit about the future and the present development issues facing Milwaukee. Thank you very much, sir.
Good. Well, thank you for coming.
Well, give us an update now. You sold your construction firm X number of years ago.
Yeah.
You worked for them. What are you doing now?
Well, I spent my entire career in the construction business. And as I said, I left that about 10 years ago. And parallel to the construction business, we got into the development business also with the ownership of the Hyatt we had for years and also the old Schlitz Brewery, which we bought in 1983 along with the Sampson family. So it's been almost ownership there almost for 30 years. And so after I left the construction career, I got involved in real estate. And my career right now, or my work, is Schlitz Park. We've totally reformatted that, remodeled a lot of it, and created a new concept that we think is very strong, and we're out leasing it. And also I'm doing some development work, more consultant work, primarily in the senior housing area. With a company here in Milwaukee.
Wisconsin is based in Madison, so when I cover the Capitol, I cannot tell you how many times I hear the term economic development. What does it mean to a career developer like you, and what's the key to economic development, Mr. Runa?
Well, times have changed in economic development because they've changed because of the demographics. A healthy community needs economic development because you've got to provide jobs for your young people coming down to school. And you have to replace the jobs of the people that are retiring, obviously. What I think we found that in the recent past now, young people aren't having children until they get well into their 30s, latter half, 36, 37 years old. And as a result, they all live in the downtown area. So where for years we had this focus of jobs fleeing out to the suburbs, now the young people that are filling a lot of these roles, the people that are retiring, live in the downtown area. So economic development is a big issue for downtown Milwaukee, urban centers. This is a national trend, it's an international trend. More people are coming back into the cities. And so we're part of it with our office complex and things we're doing in the rental market. We think we're addressing in some of the changes we've made here, this young professional group. Our sales pitch to companies that are now suburban is you're gonna have a lot of easier time hiring people in the downtown area and retaining them, which is a big issue nowadays. Retention and turnover is a big, big issue with companies.
You've heard the criticism, the renaissance of downtown cities like Milwaukee push out the poor. How do you feel about that charge, sir?
Push out the poor? I don't think that's true. We are, you know, I should say number one, we're too segregated in the city of Milwaukee. That's a given. And obviously, as a lot of people know, we're having some trouble educating our kids to the level that they can take some of these skill positions. But there's a tremendous amount of business commitment right now with MPS and charter schools and choice schools to improve that. We got about 120,000 kids in our school system.
Yes.
Here between charter, choice, and public schools. And there's a lot of involvement. I'm on the board of a charter school. A lot of people are. We work with MPS. MPS actually has their own building here in Schlitz Park. They have a school in here that we continue to work with. And so education is what it's about. If anything, jobs downtown in the urban center are easier for the poor, as I think you call them, to reach. These people don't have cars, a lot of them. 25% of the people in Milwaukee don't have cars. And plus, there's a very inadequate public transportation system to get around the county, and particularly to the jobs are out in Waukesha or Ozaukee counties. So locating the jobs here, getting the kids educated here, and using the people that live in this area is what's going to happen over the next 5-10 years.
If you could wave a wand, how would you improve the graduation rate for MPS, sir?
I think the businesses have to continue to get involved with them. I think that they have to get involved with the kids young. You have to teach. I was just at a meeting of the charter school last evening that so many kids right now are so happy to graduate from high school. And that's a big hurdle. They come from families that have never graduated from high school.
Yes.
But we've got to raise their expectations beyond that they go on to trade school or they go on to colleges. graduating from high school and getting there is the first step in a career. Mm-hmm. And the expectation level has to go on beyond that and get these kids on for further training, because that's what you need. High school graduates have a tough time, let alone high school dropouts, are in absolute problems right now. But the graduates need, you know, the connection to the technical schools or to the continuing education of colleges.
Do you think problems of MPS have hit bottom, sir?
Absolutely.
Did you see signs?
We have a marvelous superintendent right now in Dr. Gregory Thornton. He's reached out to the business community. I think that there's more cooperation than I've ever seen in my life. I think that the board has stabilized itself, which has always been a little bit of a problem, and I think that good things are happening. And you're going to see the results. There's a lot of focus on this right now, and I think it's going to work.
You've been watching been a part of the economic development seen in Milwaukee for how many decades, sir?
Well, all my career in Milwaukee, but particular, I've lived in the downtown area for about 25 years now. So I think in the last 25 years, I've really become urban focused.
I understand.
Yeah.
You like to keep those shovels from groundbreakings that are behind you. Which one of those is most meaningful to you, sir?
Probably all of them.
Okay.
But they're keystones. There's the Hyatt. There's we put together the package for the convention center. That's in there. We worked on the Riverwalk system. That's in there. Schlitz has got a couple back there. 3 years ago, we did the world headquarters of Manpower, which is part of Schlitz next to us now, mm-hmm. brought 1,000 jobs into the downtown area. They're all part of it. I wouldn't, it's probably like your kids, you don't have a favorite.
I understand. Yeah. Can we talk about some of those projects? Why did you do the Schlitz part deal? What need did you see, and what need do you feel it achieves?
Well, and as I said, we got into this place in 1983, and Schlitz had taken a strike and sold the brewery to Stroh's. The brewery was empty. And it was on the market, and Stroh's had it for sale, and the Sampson family and our family saw that in the long-term growth of Milwaukee, having 45 acres right on the river, over 1,500 footage on the river, and it was a very, very depressed property. This is the area to the north of here is where some of the problems with back in the 80s happened, with late 70s, the riots, et cetera.
Yes.
That unfortunately a lot of cities in the United States felt, and there were bars on the windows and screens on the windows and broken windows and abandoned buildings. But we thought there was an opportunity. How can you get a piece of real estate that big and not make something of it sooner or later? Those were easier financing times. I mean, we were able to get financing. We bought the thing. We basically tried to figure out what to do with it. We had a guy that wanted to put an ethanol plant in here, believe it or not, that almost 30 years ago from Minnesota, and he had it under option for a while, but he was ahead of the curve. An ethanol production is much like a brewery. So that went away, and then we looked at other things, and we started moving offices, and we remodeled 7 consecutive buildings to accommodate offices with the thought that we could give free parking because we have a lot of land. We took down over 1 million square foot, and we still got 1.2 million left. And we got a lot of land, so we could give suburban parking ratios in the downtown. And we did that. We leased it up very successfully for 20 years. But now, as I said earlier, we're in a new program of reformatting it for today's workforce, and which is different. There are different needs than it was 25 years ago.
Schlitz Park, what percent of it is leased, rented?
We're probably right now over out of the 1 million. 200,000, where we have about 240,000 empty, so that's roughly 90-some percent,
okay.
85 percent, I think.
What about commercial real estate? Is it on tough times, generally, nationally, and what about in this market, sir?
Define commercial.
Commercial real estate is where you build all the for-lease signs that I see.
Okay.
Are we seeing more of those now?
Well, in the office market, the office market downtown, urban, the vacancies are dropping. They're climbing in the suburbs because of the reasons I talked about earlier.
Yes.
People, you know, back in the 50s, 60s, 70s, we built all these freeways, and people got out of town. Now,
quick,
these young people down here like to bike to work, they like to walk to work,
right.
So the jobs are here. So office vacancies are coming down in the downtown area. and the suburbans are going up. So it's becoming a healthy market downtown. There's a new tower somebody's talking about down on the lake, and that's good stuff.
So you're more bullish than ever on downtown Milwaukee.
Absolutely. This is prime time downtown. And I've gone through the swings, and I've been here when the flight to the suburbs happened. It's coming back at us right now.
You were a key player in the Riverwalk project. Why?
Yeah. Well, it's kind of, things happen sequentially. We got in the hotel in the Hyatt in 1980, and we got frustrated with the fact that the convention center was way underbuilt, and we had to do something there. So we worked on the convention center, and our mayor was John Norquist at the time, who was a wonderful mayor. He's an urbanist in downtown planning, and we got together with him. We formed a group called the Milwaukee Riverwalk District, and we started talking about what we can do to revitalize the river, and obviously it was the Riverwalk system. And so it all fit together: hotels, tourism, convention yes. center, Riverwalks. And John had the concept, and we brought together a team of people, and we got it done. We convinced downtown people. People don't know this: the actual businesses on the river paid 22% of the cost of that Riverwalk, and the public sector paid 78%. So we created a team of public-private partnership to pull the whole thing together.
One of my questions for you, you've worked with a lot of mayors and a lot of their economic development chiefs. Would you rate him the best in terms of economic development?
John was absolutely, yeah, but he was in an interesting way because he didn't throw a lot of money around providing loans or there was support for projects that needed it. Grants, but he added, he said, if I can do the public infrastructure, if we can straighten out the streets and get rid of one-ways, make them two-ways, make it pedestrian-friendly, build the riverwalks, do the public infrastructure, the demand for housing and things like that will be so great that we don't have to subsidize. And yes, so there were another, I don't know, 2,000 or 3,000 housing units built in the downtown area that followed the riverwalk. They didn't need any assistance because the market was strong enough to support them, and the people realized with the amenities mm-hmm. that the public brought to it that that's a cool place to live.
Coming out of recession, what should the role of a city government or a county government or a state government be in economic development and these new major projects, sir?
Public infrastructure.
Public infrastructure.
Yeah,
parking highways, needs, parking.
Well, sidewalks, public parks, highways. Do the public infrastructure, parking in particular, help in parking, help in decks. The city of Des Moines did a great public parking project. Des Moines is hotter than hell right now downtown because they provide public parking for their tenants downtown. Stuff like that. And John Norquist saw that. Mm-hmm. John was not a favorite of cars. I mean, automobiles. So he dwelled in the pedestrian realm, which is very important, where people can walk down landscape sidewalks, the riverwalk, et cetera, and can get to places to eat and to live and to work in the same area. You don't need a car. That's what urban centers are coming to now with good planning. You don't need a car.
I think one of the shovels there is for the Pottawatomie Casino. Is that a big economic development anchor?
Oh, yes, it is. Very definitely it is for tourism. The number of jobs that are hired there are unbelievable, and you have to remember, the nice thing about the hotel business and the hospitality business and the casino business is they're entry-level jobs. So those businesses are one of the few around, when you think about it, that will hire somebody with no skills and will train them to work at the front desk, to work in the restaurants, to work here in the management, and bring them up. Those industries train themselves. MATC's got a great school of culinary, and that fits into it. But the more, the casino was wonderful. And plus, the payments that the casino makes to the city and the county and the state, of course, there's millions of dollars a year that come back into those coffers that they then can reinvest in the community, the city and the county can. Plus, the Pottawatomie Foundation makes direct grants to the distressed neighborhoods of Milwaukee for economic development. It is a tremendous economic generator.
A couple other issues I want to ask you about. Former Governor Thompson once told me one of his regrets is that Miller Park was not built downtown. Should it have been built downtown?
Absolutely. We led the fight, Norquist was mayor and myself led the fight, it's been published, that we wanted it downtown. We formed a committee, we offered alternate sites, but the horse was out of the barn, I guess, as they said, and there was a headstrong idea that they wanted to build it where County Stadium was.
Well, and Tommy said Bud Selig was the one who said it's going to be built right there.
Bud
was,
Bud is a good friend of mine, but Bud had a big role in saying it was going to be built there, yes.
What would it have been like if we, if you and I could walk a half mile now to Miller Park downtown?
We had a drawing that we prepared that showed Miller Park located directly north of the Bradley Center. Would have linked the corridor of the Miller Park, the Convention Center, the Bradley Center, to Wisconsin Avenue. It would have been dynamite. If you've traveled to Baltimore or Pittsburgh, I watched a baseball game the other night in Pittsburgh, two stadiums, Cincinnati, two stadiums right downtown. Every one of them. We got a great facility. I'd like to put a trailer hitch on it and pull it downtown, but you can't. But the thought at that time was that you needed a facility with 12,000 cars of parking around it. And so they got it done, and it's there, and I'm glad we got them. But it's interesting now that I see in Green Bay they're trying to build a community around Lambeau Field.
Yes.
And that's the same reason. There's people go to Miller Park and they go home. If you're in downtown, you get the spin-off of the shops, you get the spin-off of the restaurants and everything else like that. You don't get that community impact when you build a stadium in the middle of a 12 or 13,000 car parking lot.
I remember covering that debate.
Excuse me.
I remember covering that debate in the Capitol in Miller Park. It was very emotional. Middle of the night vote, cost a state senator his job. The issue was, one of the questions was, if we don't get a Miller Park, we're going to lose the Brewers. Would the Brewers have left, Mr. Bruno?
The Brewers could not compete in today's world in that old county stadium. Nor could the Packers compete in the old Lambeau Field. Nor can the Milwaukee Bucks compete in the Bradley Center. There's got to be that ancillary income from other facilities that are part of it to support that team. And those places become a year-round attraction. They're not just during the season. They're 12-month attractions. They would have been long gone. And that's an issue that faces the city now. In the next 6 years, we got to resolve what to do with the Bradley Center, or we're going to lose the Bucks,
that.
And
yep.
We don't want to lose them.
Well, in getting ready for this interview, you're talking about that and saying what you just said. What are the options, and where do you think the next arena should be built for the Bucks, Mr. Bruno?
I think that the logical site is on the Park East from 4th to 6th between Juneau and McKinley. We did some planning. We were looking at a development alongside of it with a big developer out of Dallas who was going to build a hotel and a condominium project back in 08, 09 when the market fell apart. He built a hotel and an apartment block that's right next to the American Airlines Arena in Dallas, which is the state of the art. So we looked at the American Airlines Arena, mm-hmm. and we prepared drawings and even a fly around. We plunked it right between 4th and 6th, mm-hmm. McKinley and Juneau. It fits perfectly. That's the site that's needed. Today's arenas need sites that are twice as big as the site that the Bradley Center's on. Because at Lambeau you build these atriums and this ancillary stuff
yes.
around it,
yeah.
they can't sit it on the same footprint. And so that, can you imagine coming into Milwaukee, coming down that ramp on McKinley and having the new ultra-modern arena there? It'd be spectacular.
What's it going to take to get it built at that site, Mr. Bruno?
The city to figure out, or the people in this community to figure out how to finance it. And it'll get done.
How should it be financed?
I think there are means to finance it right now. I think that sooner or later people are going to realize that there's probably two or three things that are happening right now. Number one is the stadium tax, the Miller Park tax.
Right.
I think it's foolish to think that we can get Waukesha and Racine and Kenosha to continue it. I think it's something that would continue on in Milwaukee County. I think that the city of Milwaukee right now, through their parking fund, not a lot of people realize that, is making a contribution to Miller Park because they put $12 or $14 million into it, and they're still paying those bonds off. People don't realize that happened. And so that cash flow from the parking fund, so you take money from the parking fund, which is a very much of a variable, which is enhanced by having the downtown arena, mm-hmm. and you take the Miller Park tax from the county and you add those two together, and you're starting to go down the road as to how this thing could be paid for. The biggest thing you need in this community is a dedicated sales tax that will go to the public facilities. I don't know if that's added on top of it. The community voted to have it once,
yeah.
and we couldn't get it through the legislature to approve it. And our hope is we'll have those people in Madison will understand that if we're stupid enough to tax ourselves in Milwaukee, they'll let us do it. Because we think that we need something like that to fund our public facilities. We have a very low sales tax in this state. We have a very high property tax, a very high state income tax, and a very high state corporate tax. We have a low sales tax, and our fees for our cars and our hunting license are ridiculously low. We need more money on the sales tax to relieve property taxes and provide funding for these things.
Should people in the Milwaukee area understand that what's at stake it with a new arena is potentially losing the Bucks, Mr. Gruno?
Absolutely. I mean, the NBA is a big business. We have the second oldest arena, I think, in the United States right now. The Bucks are struggling, and the Bradley Center is struggling. It's a nonprofit, but they cannot provide the revenue that they need to get to support that team.
What's the window? How much time does the city of Milwaukee and its partners have to act on a new arena?
Last year, the Bradley Center board, and I heard other people said, I thought it was 5 to 6 years, so maybe it's 4 to 5 now. But something like that takes a couple of years to plan and get done. And I think that over the next year, serious discussion has to be held on possible sources to pull this thing together. And I think that, you know, people immediately say, we don't want any more money, we don't want any more taxes, we don't want this. Well, sooner or later, you got to realize, without somebody paying for it, this stuff isn't going to happen. And, you know, you take Bradley Center out here and take the Bucks out of here at night, and it shuts them down, I don't know, 60 nights a year, whatever the heck they play here, and the town goes dark. You need that activity. You need people around the United States to see the name Milwaukee every day they play.
Talk to me about the Park East Quarter. Why did it take so long to tear down that roadway, and why is it taking so long to decide how it's going to be, what's going to be built there, sir?
I'll tell you why it came down. And a lot of us fought to take it down for a long time. Up here at Schlitz, the Park East Freeway was between us and downtown. We're only 7 blocks from City Hall, but that was a concrete barrier. It was a barrier economically, it was a barrier racially, it was a barrier everything. What made it come down, and not a lot of people know this, is that for a period of 2.5 years, we were going to be the home of the Harley-Davidson Museum here in our brew house. And they had it under contract. Unfortunately, we couldn't work out the structure because there's a lot of problems with the structure, and it didn't work, so then they took it over to the Valley. But when I made the deal with them, Jeff Bluestein, to become a tenant here or to buy the building, he said, we got to get that freeway down. So Jeff and I and Scott Sampson on a Friday morning in January drove out to Madison and met with Tommy Thompson. And it was an impasse between the state, the county, and the city. John Nork was at the city, Tom Amott in the county, and Tommy Thompson. There was money laying there to do things with. And in 1 hour meeting that morning, when Tommy realized the effect of what Harley could have and what happened, he said, we'll get that down. So Tommy called Norquist and Amon, and within 2 weeks they agreed to take it down. That's what caused it to happen.
How often do city and county relations, and maybe add in state government, are hindrances to some of these economic development decisions that you think are crucial?
Too often. We're getting good cooperation, I think, now on the city and county level. And I have hopes that the governor also, now that things have leveled out there, and his economic development arm has been very helpful with the water council here and other things now, that I hope this whole team is going to start working a lot closer than it has in the past.
We've talked about Milwaukee's high unemployment, poor MPS graduation rates. How does Governor Walker's pledge, his goal, 250,000 new private sector jobs by 2014, potentially impact some of these urban issues, Mr. Bruno?
It's great to have economic development, but I saw a survey by somebody the other day, a national group, talking about states that people want to develop in. And they listed the 10 things that is important to them. I was surprised that taxes aren't in the top 2 or 3, okay? You know what the top thing is? Access to skilled labor.
Okay.
So if companies are going to grow in this state, or locate in this state, they got to have skilled labor. And that goes right back to the educational system, that we're not producing kids coming out of our high schools right now. And we haven't linked the high schools with the trade schools the way we should. And we haven't linked the high school's graduation to college that I talked about. We've got to do a better job. Tim Sullivan's report, which
you probably have followed. Do you support that?
Right on, absolutely. Tim is a magnificent guy. That commission pulled together the right thing to do. It's educating. It's going to be immigration in some areas.
Yes.
We've got to open the doors and get the schools cooking to get, and without that, economic development's going to be like a flag fluttering in the wind with nothing going on.
But the segment of the Sullivan report that deals with immigration recognizes that it's largely a federal issue. How can local and state governments open those doors?
Well, I think that you've got a federal, we're right in the middle of a political process now.
Yes.
You've got a federal viewpoint from here to there.
Yeah.
I think that local and state governments have got to start talking to that national federal viewpoint. The political people set this, you know, what's going to happen. And they've got to point out how damaging it is to us to slam the door shuts and make it difficult for people to get here, let alone the people that are here to try to send them home. It's ridiculous.
Presidential election, 2 months from today. What's at stake in this election, Mr. Gruno?
There are some consistencies that what's at stake, I think, is a need. I see great growth periods for our country coming up, just like the urban areas. And the question is how the best way to get there. I think that both sides agree that the deficit has to be cut, then brought down the debt. They've got different ways of doing it, okay? Number one, that's got to happen. And number two, I think the choice really is the difference is where the money is going to be spent. I personally think we've got to raise more revenue. You just have to raise revenue. You can't balance the budget on the back of by taking away benefits and taking away training. We talk about need to develop skilled workers. To do that, you got to spend money. You just can't cut out, and watch that class not getting the skills they need to fill our job. It's going to hamper it. You need some revenue. You need to spend money on technology and training to keep us in the front in the world. So the battle is revenue, and additional revenue or not additional revenue.
Have you just said you lean more towards the policies of President Obama, sir?
I have said I'm not a Tea Party guy. Let's put it that way.
Okay.
I think that I'm a middle of the road guy. Absolutely a middle of the road guy. And I think you would ask Tim Sullivan, he's a middle of the road guy. Why would he talk about immigration? I think that the problem here, when we got government out here, we got political leaders out here and out here, and somebody's got to say, guys, get your act together, and women, and let's go down the middle.
In some of these projects that you worked on, you have often said that we have to maintain, quote, the flavor of Milwaukee. What is the flavor of Milwaukee?
The flavor of Milwaukee is honest, hardworking, skilled craftsmen. Has been. But what's happening now is Milwaukee's becoming a technology innovation center. You think of the companies like Johnson Controls we have here, and Kohl's, and Rockwell, and Briggs, and these people are really devoting. There's an operation that we're part of over in the Plankton Arcade right now, where it's an entrepreneurial center. It's called Mike, where it's startup companies and working with young kids. The flavor of Milwaukee, with the youth that lives here now and the technology giants that are here, is going away from the foundries. It's going into the technology, advanced manufacturing, the social media, and all the stuff like that. We have one of the largest creative arts communities in the country, percentage-wise. So it's the creative, which fits all together in that area. So that's the flavor. It's a very exciting time in Milwaukee. Things are happening here. And pretty soon the state's going to figure out Milwaukee better be healthy or they're not going to be healthy. And we need the state to help us a little bit more.
You've been very gracious with your time. I just have a couple questions. One of them is this. You have watched the political turmoil in Madison for 21 months. Has that hindered your goals of economic development and moving some of these projects that you care passionately about forward, sir?
No.
No.
I don't think so. I think that I'm certain that companies that are thinking about expansion want to see some stability.
Stability,
but It's certainly not affecting jobs coming downtown. It's not affecting stuff like that.
So you're not aware of any CEOs who held off hiring decisions while they saw how the recalls played out?
I've not discussed that with anybody, no.
Okay. Well, maybe the final question. How should Milwaukee, downtown Milwaukee, look and function in 20 years from now, Mr. Bruno?
More residents. Residents bring retail. We need some retail downtown. More offices. Good circulation. We put in a big bike to work program here. Bike trails, bike racks, vibrant. You know, we got such a vibrant art scene to begin with, and we got major universities: Marquette, UWM, MSOE, right downtown. We can be as great as we want to be, I think.
Well, but one of the issues covering the Capitol, Milwaukee delegation can't agree on how to fund its county bus system. Why has not that problem not been solved? Because you have said how critical it is to get people to jobs.
Business has to take the initiative. You can't have the political sector lead you, or the government sector. And I think there's a group right now in Milwaukee that between business and our public institutions, UWM, Mike Lovell, wonderful guy, MATC, Michael Burke, Marquette, that are getting together and developing a plan to solve the transportation needs. And then the politicians have got to deliver, else we're going to vote them out of office. I mean, it gets to the point that the people have to take charge, and the people, too many people are being elected to office with the idea they want to stay there and not do anything. But the private sector's got to lead the way. You can't depend on the public sector to do it.
Veteran developer, Mr. Bruno, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you for coming over.
I appreciate talking to Wisconsin Eye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.